Our first reading this morning is The Charge of the Goddess as written or as adapted by Starhawk. I, who am the beauty of the green earth and the white moon among the stars and the mysteries of the waters, I call upon your soul to arise and come unto me, for I am the soul of nature that gives life to the universe. From me all things proceed, and unto me they must return. Let my worship be in the heart that rejoices, for behold, all acts of love and pleasure are my rituals. Let there be beauty and strength, power and compassion, honor and humility, mirth and reverence within you. And you who seek to know me, know that the seeking and yearning will avail you not unless you know the mystery. For if that which you seek you find not within yourself, you will never find it without. For behold, I have been with you from the beginning, and I am that which is attained at the end of desire. Please join in responsive reading number 515. We lift up our hearts in thanks. And I invite this side of the room to read the plain type and this side to respond in the italics. For the sun and the dawn, which we did not create.
For the moon and the evening, which we did not make.
For food, which we plant, but cannot grow.
For friends and loved ones, we have not earned and cannot buy.
For this gathered company, which welcomes us as we are, from wherever we have come.
For all our free churches that keep us human and encourage us in our quest for beauty, truth, and love.
For all things which come to us as gifts of being from sources beyond ourselves.
Gifts of life and love and friendship, we lift up our hearts in thanks this day.
Thank you. May you never thirst, the priestess said, holding out the chalice to me. Blessed be, I replied, taking it. The large silver cup was heavy in my hand. I raised it to my lips and drank, tasting the cider on my tongue and feeling the blessing enter my body. I handed the chalice back. Blessed be, she said back to me, and moved on to the next person in the circle. This was a few years ago at the festival of Maybon, the Wiccan celebration of the autumnal equinox. It was also my first time at a public Wiccan ritual. After years of what I can only describe as dabbling in pagan spirituality, I had realized just how thirsty I was spiritually. The practice of ministry, and particularly the act of preparing and offering worship every week, is a spiritual practice in itself. But I realized that I needed to get more serious about my own spirituality, apart from my work. So I started taking classes from a teacher whose books had resonated with me, and I started going to the public rituals that are offered by the group he co-founded with several others. May you never thirst. Are you spiritually thirsty? Is your spirit a lush forest or a green field bearing fruit? Or is it a parched landscape, waiting for the waters of spiritual deepening to make it come alive? If your spirit is thirsty, what would revive it? Last year, I talked about four kinds of spirituality: relationship and connection, social justice work, the life of the mind, and mysticism. Mine is definitely a mystic spirituality. Mysticism is the water that revives my spirit, but yours might be something else. Does your spirit thirst for more connection? Do you need deeper relationship to revive your soul? Or perhaps your soul will most be fed by digging into work for justice. Or perhaps what your spirit is fed most deeply by is the medium of your mind, and you crave intellectual stimulation, a good book, or 100, or a research project to make your spirit come alive. What is your spirit thirsty for? After a time of good watering, my thirsty soul became much more satisfied. My life is enriched and my practice of ministry deepened by when I can hold on to the commitment of regular spiritual practice. Perhaps you are in this place too. Perhaps you have found a way to keep your spirit watered and refreshed. Perhaps there is abundant spiritual fruit in your life. If so, Mebal is the perfect time to celebrate that. This is called sometimes the second harvest, or the fruit harvest, meaning the harvest of both fruits and vegetables. This is why the chalice at Mebon is filled with cider, the harvest of the apple orchards. At Mebon, we give thanks for the abundance of the actual material harvest, the food that sustains our bodies. And we give thanks for inner harvests, for the ways our spirits and hearts and minds are sustained, for the fruit of a well-watered interior life. And we offer each other the blessing, may you never thirst. This is a profound blessing. Our bodies need water more than they need food. Thirst is a more urgent need than just about anything but air to breathe. And of course, the plants and animals we need for food also need water. Without water, we would have no life at all. To say, may you never thirst, is to wish each other freedom from a parched throat and a parched spirit. It is to wish each other life and health and happiness. It is a profound blessing. May you never thirst. And yet, I am also reminded of an Indigo Girls song. This song is written from the point of view of someone who is dying and passing on advice and blessing to those who will come after her. One line of this song says, "Fight the greed and the federals, fight the need and the toxic spills. Drink from that wishing well, but may it never quench your thirst." And this line resonates with me too. May it never quench your thirst. Here, in the context of work for justice, may our thirst for justice always be felt, as long as there is injustice. May it never quench your thirst. May you always feel the need of the world for your participation, and may you always respond. May it never quench your thirst. In the world, there is always need of us. In our physical lives, we will feel thirst again, always. That's what keeps us reaching for water bottles and teacups. Spiritually, too, we will always come back to thirst. To be perfectly satisfied, always, would be a static state that is impossible in our world of change and growth and transformation. May it never quench your thirst, then, is also a profound blessing. May you continue to thirst for justice and for life. May you continue to thirst for knowledge and for connection. May you continue to know enough thirst to keep you seeking, moving, growing, learning, working, and living. May it never quench your thirst. At this season of equinox, we stand at the time of equal day and night, a time of perfect balance. The actual equinox lasts only a moment, as the Earth travels on, bringing our hemisphere into darkness. First, though, that moment of perfect balance. Darkness and light, warmth and cold, harvest in preparation for winter's deprivation. A moment of balance, and a moment of paradox. One of the things I appreciate about working spirituality is its embrace of paradox. All the polarities in nature, dark and light, warmth and cold, growth and death, are honored without one being seen as good and the other evil. They are all part of the world around us, and there is blessing in all of them. Perhaps the best expression of this idea comes at two other festivals, Yule and Litha. Yule is the celebration of the winter solstice, and Litha, also called Midsummer, is the celebration of the summer solstice. At the summer solstice, the sun is at its brightest and strongest here in our hemisphere. On this longest day, in the celebration of the height of the arch of the light, Wiccan spirituality celebrates the light, but we also realize that this, in a sense, is the moment that the light begins to die. Then, at the winter solstice, Yule, we honor the darkest part of the year, the longest night. But we also realize that this is the moment when the sun is reborn and will gain in strength until the summer. There are many versions of myths and metaphors that tell the story of the cycles of the year. And one of them is the story of the Oak King and the Holly King. The Oak King represents the forces of light and growth, while the Holly King represents the forces of darkness and withering. At each solstice, they vie for ascendancy, for control of our world. And each wins precisely at the moment of the other's supremacy. So on the winter solstice, the Oak King takes the crown, and he will lead the world back into light and growth. And on the summer solstice, the Holly King takes the crown, and he will lead the world through the time of harvest, of the slow withdrawal of life from the landscape, and into the darkness. As my teacher Christopher Pensack writes of the Oak King at midsummer, quote, "The god of light faces the god of shadow and is defeated, as is preordained on this day. He relinquishes control of the year to the dark god. This shift is symbolic of the shadows we must all face. They are not evil, simply another side of us that we must look at as part of our development and growth. There can be no growing season without the waning season. Death makes life that much sweeter." End quote. At the autumnal equinox, the growing forces of darkness overtake the waning forces of light, as we stand for one moment of balance before we head into fall and winter. At this time of harvest, we see another paradox. The harvest is the time of abundant food, and for us human beings, abundant life. But for the plants we harvest, it is a time of dying, as they are cut down for us to eat, or as they shed their seeds like the sunflower. At the autumnal equinox, pagans honor the plants that die as the descent of the god of the harvest into the underworld, or as the descent of the goddess Persephone into the underworld. The spiritual task now for those who follow this path is to go inward, too, to engage in a time of introspection. The themes of this season are beautifully captured in a reading by Scott Cunningham. Here it is. "Leaves fall, the days grow cold. The goddess pulls her mantle of earth around her as you, O great sun god, sail toward the west, to the lands of enchantment, wrapped in the coolness of night. Fruits ripen, seeds drop, the hours of day and night are balanced. Chill winds blow in from the north, wailing laments. In this seeming extinction of nature's power, O blessed goddess, I know that life continues, for spring is impossible without the second harvest, as surely as life is impossible without death. Blessings upon you, O fallen god, as you journey into the lands of winter and into the goddess's loving arms." End quote. Now, at the equinox, at the time of balance, the time of paradox, the moment of in-betweenness, may be the perfect time to contemplate the paradox of "may you never thirst" and "may your thirst never be quenched." At this time of profound balance, perhaps we can realize that both are blessings. May your body and your spirit always have what they need. When you are in need of refreshment or new life, may the waters be available to you. May you never know thirst unto death, in your body or in your soul. May you never thirst. And may your body and your spirit always thirst enough to stay alive. May you know the dissatisfaction with things as they are that leads to work for justice. May you know the thirst for new knowledge that leads to the quest for truth. May you know the desire for deeper connection that creates new and stronger relationships. May you know the spiritual thirst that keeps the soul searching and gives the sweetness of new discovery to faithful followers of spiritual paths of all kinds. May you never thirst too deeply, but may your thirst never be entirely quenched. Amen. Please join me in a moment of silence.